What is that? Well, you're supposed to be the guide, Ann. Oh, can't you hear it with those big ears of yours?
Don't be cruel, Vikram. I like her ears. They make her look cute like a pixie.
I don't know what that means.
No, of course you don't. Adorable. What's the noise, Arn? Go on, put those clever native skills of yours to use.
It's a night crier. They're flying things.
A bird? Sounds like a ghost.
It will be. It's caught in the mud. Night criers go mad in this bog. Just drown themselves. Sometimes you see flocks of them falling like screeching leaves into the water.
Is it... Could it have gotten out?
Sometimes they get out.
Everyone loves Sniggly Poo.
Not everyone now. Skip. Skip. Where's the skip button?
Oh, it's the song with the white furry thing. Everyone I love this one.
There we go. We found something after everyone all. Someone who enjoys pop-ups.
So buy one.
They're all very new to her, aren't they, Arn? Remember, don't try to grab anything from the screen. It might look real, but...
I'm not an idiot, Euphemia.
I didn't say you were. Just... What's that one? Another bird?
That's... I've got no idea.
A lock? This is it. We've found him.
Last time you said that, it was a tree stump.
This time it is him. I know it is.
Arn, have we your permission to exhume him?
You do. Was that okay?
Yes, you did very well. I've set the bomb for maximum dispersal.
Maximum? Euphemia?
I'm still in charge here, Vikram. I suggest we run. This is it. We've found the undying.
Wonders of your universe, and we've landed in a swamp.
A bog, actually. Less vegetation, more peat.
Pedantry doesn't suit you, Summerfield.
Oh, you could have brought us here in daylight.
This is daylight. That's not a moon up there, it's the sun.
Oh, it's so dim.
It's old. It's been burning so long it has nothing left to burn. Only a few million years left. No supernova, no black hole, just a quiet dwindling. Why did we come here?
You telling me the Undying doesn't interest you?
Well...
You weren't listening, were you?
All right, I wasn't listening.
A shame. It's an interesting story.
Well, aren't you going to tell me?
You didn't listen the first time.
Summerfield... All right, I'm sorry. Tell me about the Undying.
Yep, 3,000-year-old local myth. A conquering space king, lord of the seventh planets... Oh, you know the type. Couldn't be killed. Won most of his battles without a shot fired. Talked his enemies into surrendering. Immortal. Bit of a legend. Can talk people into anything. Remind you of anyone?
And?
He's buried here, in the bogs of Gelmoth.
I thought you said he was immortal.
That's what's interesting. Oh! You landed us in the middle of a war zone. Again?
You were the one that wanted to come here.
Oh, come on, let's see what it was. Someone just blasted a massive crater out of this bog!
Careful, the ground doesn't look stable.
Oh, there's someone down there.
Summerfield, wait!
Can you hear me? I'm coming to get you!
Are they all right?
They're half buried in the peat. Hang on. If I can just grab their hand, I... Oh! Oh! They're dead. They're a long time dead. Oh, a bog body.
And someone just excavated him with high explosives. Novel.
Stay completely still.
A local?
Tall. Purplish. Long ears. A Gilmothian. Although it almost looks like she's wearing...
a logo t-shirt and novelty sunglasses.
It is fashion. The ground's unstable after the explosion. Tread very carefully. And...
did you blow this body up?
Oh, my ancestors! The body... is that really him? We found him!
Arne, what? Oh, the blast worked perfectly.
What the hell is going on here?
A corpse. It's a corpse.
The noose around his neck. The crown. It's him. I found him.
But the face. It's like he died yesterday.
Yeah, whoever you think this is, he's been dead a very long time.
3,000 years.
You mean...
this is the Undying.
Ship. Solid ground at last.
All this ground, it's muck with pretensions, and it's getting into my boots.
You'll like the ship. I like the ship. When you grow up on a planet of marshes, the metal floors never stop being exciting.
Vikram, Arne, get the body inside the ship.
No.
What?
Without biocontainment, I'm not having that thing on board.
Fine. Arne will do it then. Won't you, Arne?
What? Yeah, sure. Happy to.
None of this is right. You know that.
It's perfectly legal. Arne gave us permission. She's local.
So we stole it legally. It's still theft.
Don't be boring. Now then, you two. I just need you to sign some NDAs, then we'll be on our way. You can enjoy your visit to Gelmuth.
NDA?
The Undying is not just a priceless artifact. He is also now commercially sensitive IP. I'm sure you understand.
Well, not really.
Now then, who are you?
Professor Bernie Summerfield, and this is the doctor. He's...
I'm here to inspect your operation.
I'm sorry?
Head office, loop me in.
Head office? Executive Adler?
No, I really can't say. You know how it is. Just a bit of project oversight, allaying a few concerns. My card...
access all areas. Of course. So he couldn't trust me to do this on my own.
I'm afraid that's confidential, you understand. A box-ticking exercise. I'm sure there's nothing to worry about if you've been following proper procedures.
Of course. Look around. I'll just help Vikram with onboarding the artifact.
Onboarding the artifact?
You sly fox.
Institutionally paranoid people are easy to undermine.
Access all areas?
Old library card.
But...
it was a very special library.
This whole setup is extraordinary. Who digs up a body with high explosives? It's insane and criminal.
Interesting.
Who are this bunch? Corporate archaeologists?
Let's find out.
Vikram... can I have a moment?
That body shouldn't be on board without a biofield and a tox screen.
You didn't object when we descoped those last budget round?
That was when I thought we wouldn't find anything. Who knows what that body's carrying? And the smell...
I'm going to have to ask you to move on from this. Those two are internal inspectors sent from the exec. And you questioned me in front of them. Do you have any idea how bad you've made me look?
All the same, that body shouldn't be on this ship.
I see. You're determined not to make me look good.
No. I'm saying we've got too many corners. We know where the body is. We can come back for it. I'm not leaving with it on board.
I see. Okay. Perhaps you could stay behind. Maybe you can teach Arne's people to build a ship to take you home. Should only take them a few thousand years. Doctor, Professor, there you are. We'll be taking off soon.
Without a proper excavation? Even after the explosion, I'm sure
we have the body. What's the point of excavating further?
Archaeology is about context. Putting together a picture from all the little puzzle pieces. It's work. It's documentation. It's kneeling down in a trench with a trowel and a brush.
Look, I'm not an archaeologist.
Oh.
Will you be coming with us, Doctor?
We would love to, but...
We would love to.
Excellent. Do you need to fetch anything from your ship?
Well... there is one thing.
How large is it?
That's a trickier question than you might think.
She can't be serious. Mud. Tracking mud into the ship. Doesn't anyone bother to clean their boots? Wonderful. The ship's leaking. That's all we need. Is someone there? No, you can't. You can't be real.
There we go. One big blue crater board.
Just put it in the hall, Darn.
Right.
Big cold room?
I know which one the hold is. It's just... that's where...
Arne, it's a dead body. You carried it in. I know your people are superstitious, but...
I'm not superstitious. I'm fine. I just needed a minute to catch my breath. I'll put the crate in the hold.
Sorry. Hard worker. But Arne's, she's a bit... well, you can't really expect more, can you? She's doing well, considering.
Considering what?
Vikram, what's going on?
We've got to get out. It's behind me. It's coming.
Wait, hey, steady on. What's behind you?
It was just there. We have to get out of here. Come on, open.
Walker, calm down. There's nothing there. What can you see?
Can't you hear them? They're here. All around us.
You're not making any sense.
They're laughing at you. Oh, they can see right through you. I've got to get out. Got to get away!
Vikram! Come back!
Be careful. The bog's treacherous normally, but at night...
What's wrong with him? We shouldn't have to be chasing around after him. It's so cold out here.
Oh, he was convinced he was being hunted by demons. Arne, in your superstition...
We do have flying demons.
Of course you do, but they're not real.
You've shown me that they're not. You're wiser than me, but I still think we should find Vikram before he comes to harm.
Agreed. Oh, that's him.
He's over there. Come on.
Vikram, you're in so much trouble.
Be careful.
We've got to reach him.
Help me. They're here. They hate me.
Vikram, hold on.
Dead fingers grabbing me. The hands of the dead pulling me down.
We've got to get to him.
Hold on, we're coming. Vikram, take hold of me.
We should never have come here. The Undying will kill us all. You hear me? You're next.
Vikram, are you just standing there?
What are you doing?
Going in after him.
You can't, the suction has taken him.
After effects of your blast.
Not now, Summerfield. He's already dead. What use is it if you die with him?
I can't.
The doctor's right. My people know never to rescue anyone the marsh takes. We simply stand vigil over their last moments.
Oh, primitives. What do you know? Oh, God. What am I going to tell his family?
Let's get you back to the ship.
Yeah, of course. Yes, I need to... I need to make a report.
That's right, a report. Here, take my coat.
Well, I don't need a coat. I'm not cold.
Don't worry about it. We're heading back to the ship. Come on. One step after the next. We'll be there in no time.
A bad way to die.
We see it as a blessing to give yourself back to the ground. But yes, it's not pleasant. Euphemia's strange. She was angry with Vikram, and yet she's distressed that he's dead.
Humans are complicated.
No wonder she sees my kind as simple.
Let's get back to the ship.
Sleep well, Vikram.
I'd like to know more about what attacked him.
Perhaps we'd better move a little faster.
Don't worry. They're just night cries. They're not...
Jim, you were saying?
They eat berries.
The berries? I think we should run.
Mad. The night cries have gone mad.
Doctor, what's going on?
Harmless birds, almost as crazed as poor Vikram. I'd like to know why.
Right. You two get your crate secured. Arne, you're my co-pilot.
Seriously?
Seriously. Come on, to the cockpit.
Is that right, Doctor? Should we be leaving?
There's something very wrong on this world. I have the strongest feeling it does not want us here.
Hold down that switch there and keep an eye on those readings. I'm going to do the pre-flight checks.
Poggle, poggle, Georgie Puff.
Really? Now?
Don't worry, it always does that. You can go ad-free, but, well, it was outside the budget. It's just a pre-roll.
Can I get in?
I don't know. You can skip the ad, give it your DNA.
My what?
It doesn't want me, I'm already in the record, but... You're a fresh market. Just hit that button. Do it.
Ow! Bit me!
Thank you.
It's unlocked. Hold on tight.
Oh, someone's almost as bad at driving as you are.
No, not now, Summerfield. I made a terrible mistake.
What?
I said there was something evil in the bog and that we had to get off this planet.
Well, you were attacked by a flock of birds and Vikram ran out screaming into the marsh.
Yes, and that's the mistake. I should have seen it. Why didn't I see it? He ran out into it.
Oh, but that means...
Whatever drove Vikram mad is in here with us.
We're clear. We made it. Not bad for your first takeoff.
Is that what my world looks like? Gelmuth. It's greener than I thought. Down there, it always looks so grey.
I remember the first time I saw my home from space. It's strange. Looking down and seeing your whole world so small you could blot it out with your finger. Like I'd spent my whole life in the head of a pin.
It didn't feel real until now. Leaving.
How does it feel?
Good. I'm glad to see the back of it.
I was the same way, but that'll change in time. Trust me, the universe has so much more to offer you. Now you're free, you can do whatever you want.
Is that what you do?
Yes.
Because I've got no idea what I want to do. All I thought about was getting out, and now I am. What do I do now? Alien girl. No technical skills. No education. No idea what the universe is really like. Be honest. My chances aren't great, are they?
Don't worry about it. The company will look after you.
They're very kind.
Coordinates set for Chiftik. I've got to Vikram stuff, you know.
Of course. I'm sorry.
Can you take over here?
You want me to fly this thing?
The computer has our course. Keep an eye on those instruments. Let me know if the readings change. Those are the numbers.
I know what numbers are. I'm not a child.
No, I suppose you're not. Sorry.
I'm flying a spaceship.
Oh, not now. Can't you just give me a moment? No, of course not.
When I call, I expect you to answer.
Executive, I answered as quickly as...
Is the asset secured?
Yes.
Good. But but you should have informed me at once. And is it a budget?
Yes, but...
What?
Vikram's died. An accident.
I'm so sorry to hear that. How did he die?
He... drowned. Just went crazy and he...
Crazy. So we're not culpable.
Does that matter?
Of course. Any death is a tragedy, but at least this won't impact our insurance. Or your performance record. Now, honour Vikram's memory by finishing the job. Work's the best treatment for grief.
Of course, exec.
That's more like it.
It's just... Vikram had some concerns about the undying. I'm wondering if we should pause this project.
No toss.
Exec?
That was the planet the company found you on, wasn't it?
Yes.
An island of rubbish in a chemical sea. Your people digging through garbage for scraps. You came from that to this.
Yes, exec.
We still have ships heading to Notos every day. Carrying refuse? For disposal? Just a thought. Deliver me what you promised.
Don't worry. I'll deliver. I always do. I don't need your inspectors.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
No, of course you don't.
Euphemia, I was just wondering if you were all right. If you wanted to talk. About Vikram.
It's all right. Whatever you want to say, you can tell me.
Nothing I want to share with company inspectors? Now then, is the Undying prepped for examination?
Well, yes.
Then let's get started. Honour Vikram's memory. It's the best treatment for grief.
So, you're the Undying. Look at you. I'm trying to work out what you were like from your face. Were you cruel, kind, intelligent, dumb? It's hard to tell, really. I mean, I do want to know, if you really are immortal, how come you ended up dead in a ditch for 3,000 years? Is there anything you want to tell me? What's that?
Doctor, I found you... Doctor?
In Summerfield. That was nothing. Euphemia, how are you?
Professor Summerfield has offered to examine the body.
No, how kind of her.
I've had better work environments, but it'll do. Usually I'd use clues from the surrounding strata for context, but since you vaporised them...
We have the Undying, that's all we need. The extraction plan was signed off by Exec Adler.
Yes, okay, but how do you know this is the Undying?
The location and the burial marks match the legends.
Oh, come on. The history of archaeology is littered with people like you. Certain every chariot wheel in the Red Sea is from the parting of the waters. Every sword in a lake is Excalibur. Every pyramid is Horus's tomb. Wishful thinking means you almost always find what you're looking for.
Well, that's what you're here for, isn't it? A second opinion to find out what I've got wrong.
Okay. Are you sure you want to do this now? Seeing a body laid out like this.
Death doesn't scare me. I'm used to it. Still, the Undying's different, preserved like that.
Not dead, only resting.
The way bodies are preserved in bogs can be unsettling.
That wasn't what I was thinking. I was thinking it would be nice to last, even like this.
This isn't lasting.
Maybe it's the most we can ask for.
Facial features remain intact. Two eyes, a mouth, I suppose you could call that a nose.
There's something noble about him, isn't there? Like you can look back through the centuries and see him. He must have been beautiful then.
And the rings on his fingers are definitely a sign of high status. Even caked in rust and mud, they're clearly quality craftsmanship.
Yes. Let's see if we can get one off.
Look, careful! Those fingers will be fragile.
Oh, it's all right, he won't feel it.
Oh, still, you should be less careless.
He's dead. And he belongs to the company now. Every part of him.
Oh.
Well, carry on.
There's a knife wound to his chest, a nasty one. Looks like it went right through to the heart.
There's another one here. And another.
That would have punctured the lung. And that one. Someone really didn't like him. There's a blow to the skull as well.
Thorough. Clearly, whoever killed him believed the legends that the Undying was immortal.
They crushed his skull and still he laughed. They pierced his lungs and still he breathed. And still, as he fell beneath the mire, he watched them with burning eyes, and still he smiled.
He's still smiling now, isn't he? Curious.
I don't know if I'd call that a...
The things we'll do together. The legends are that the Undying walked towards the armies of the enemy. No weapons, no soldiers, and he talked. They put their weapons down and bowed. That's power.
And you want that power?
I have that power. It's locked inside him.
What will you do with it? Conquer the galaxy? Quash rebellion?
What? No, nothing like that.
Universal peace?
How can you not know?
This isn't an archaeological dig, is it?
Ah.
Ah?
Euphemia's not a would-be dictator. She's something far, far worse. She's in marketing.
Marketing?
Hello? What's that? Who's there? Nothing. It's nothing.
You've desecrated a grave in order to sell stuff?
Yes.
Go on.
Everyone's competing to find the next persuasion toolkit.
Persuasion toolkit?
Subliminals, nanoverts, genetic targeting, that's all.
Old hat?
If we can extract the secret of the Undying, the man who could charm armies.
And what are you going to use it on? Selling cars? Policies? Winning elections?
In the end, maybe. To start with, well, we're going to soft launch it.
On what?
This is going to sound bad.
Undoubtedly.
On what?
A new flavour of fizzy drink.
Wow.
You're not real. You're just a noise. Just a noise. There's no such thing as ghosts, Arn. You know that. You know that. Euphemia would laugh at you. What are you?
Look at Arn. Lovely Arn. Sold her world and now she'll die. Look at Arn, lovely Arn. Sold her world and soon she'll fry.
Leave me alone. Who are you? What are you?
Dear sweet Arn, lovely Arn. We're the dead of Gelmoth. You've betrayed us. You've sold your planet. And now there's just one unbelievable price to pay.
No!
The Undying needs you.
Congratulations, Summerfield. You blew our cover.
I blew our cover. I'm fairly certain you did too.
Impossible. Now, can you at least do a convincing impression of being asleep?
I beg your pardon?
I need you to stay in this cabin.
Wait,
while
what?
While I go and find out what's on the ship. Because whatever Euphemia dug up is a lot more dangerous than a legend.
And I'm staying behind in a room that smells of socks. Why?
To allay suspicion, that's all.
Oh, she's locked us in.
Yes, of course she has. Bless. Let's give her a little victory. You stay behind, get some sleep.
But...
Trust me, you'll be safer here.
Oh, infuriating man. Four and five. I'm not worthless and I'm not staying behind. Oh, now he's locked it. Oh, he really doesn't trust me.
I'll say this for you, Vikram. You kept a tidy cabin. But musty, though. Always keep up with your laundry.
Doctor. Doctor.
ghostly voices. Oh, I don't think so. You're better than that. I certainly am.
Doctor.
That's a little better. Vikram, I'm sorry you're dead.
She does not believe you.
Who?
Why did you leave her behind?
Narrow it down.
Summerfield.
Oh, she needs sleep.
Don't lie to me. Why did you leave her behind?
Because I want her to be safe. This ship is insanely dangerous and I don't want her to die.
Like I did. You let me die. You failed me.
Yes, I'm sorry. If I'd got there a few moments earlier, we could have saved you, but we didn't.
There was a way to save me, and you didn't.
Probably. But I didn't think of it at the time. It happens.
That's it?
What more do you want?
You don't feel responsible?
Of course I feel responsible. I can't save everyone.
You should. You've saved the universe in the past, but you couldn't save me.
If I spared a moment to remember everyone I failed, I'd never move again. It's too late for you, but maybe I can still save everyone else.
I do not forgive you.
I never asked you to. I wouldn't ask it of any of them.
Pull it together. You're in charge. You can do this. You can do this. Not now, not now. I can't, I just can't. I said not now. What have I done? He'll fire me.
Euphemia, what happened?
Exec, I'm so sorry. An accident. My communicator fell off the table.
It doesn't matter, Euphemia. What matters is your gullibility.
My gullibility?
You brought those two strangers on board, told them all about a commercially confidential project because you trusted them.
It was a mistake. The doctor is very persuasive.
Is he now? And because of them, because of that mistake, Vikram died.
Because of them?
Yes, they've undermined you, sabotaged this project. They're industrial spies from a rival organization. Euphemia, this project has failed.
No, it hasn't. I've locked them up. They can't talk to anyone. We can question them when we arrive.
You've locked them up? Do you really think that's going to be enough? I'm offering you one last chance to prove yourself. You know what you have to do.
What's happening?
Arn, lovely Arn, so pretty, so witty, so full of charm. Arn, my daughter.
What?
All the children of Gelmont are my daughters, and you betrayed me.
You're the Undying.
Correct, but I am more than that. I am what remains after 3,000 years of prayer and devotion. I am the soul of your planet, and you let them take it.
I'm sorry!
For what, Aunt? What have they given you?
It's not like that!
What did they give you? Did they give you fabulous wealth? I would hope that they did. For the soul of a planet.
No!
A new life elsewhere.
No, I mean, maybe. I hope so.
Then what? What did they give you?
These sunglasses and this t-shirt?
Hello? Is someone there? Doctor, if that's you, you'd better have come to let me out.
There you are.
Euphemia.
I noticed you're outside your room.
Summerfield and I decided to go exploring.
What?
Our cabin door seemed to have locked itself. Don't worry, I mended it easily.
So you could carry on your investigation of the ship?
Exactly. Our important investigation.
And how's it going?
I've noticed a slightly musty smell in the air.
Have you spotted anything else?
I can tell that you're in incredible danger. We need to turn this ship around and go back to Gelmoth.
Really? So you want this mission to end in failure?
Don't worry, my report will exonerate you.
That is kind of you.
I am very persuasive.
So I've heard.
You have nothing to fear so long as you trust me.
The thing is, I've spoken to Executive Adler.
Ah, deny all knowledge of me, did they? Simply obeying orders, good man. He is a man, isn't he?
It doesn't matter. He was right to be worried about you, and now I know who you really are.
Oh, well, that doesn't matter. What matters is turning the ship around. You're all in terrible danger, and I won't let anyone else die.
Really, Doctor? I know exactly what to do.
Euphemia, you have to trust me.
What about Professor Summerfield?
What about
her? Where is she?
She's honestly not important.
Huh, I see.
Is that so?
She's just the window dressing while I get on and do the work.
Right.
I can be a little abrasive. The truth is, people find my intellect intimidating. The same cannot be said about Summerfield. She's not even that good an archaeologist.
Oh.
But I think that's why people like her. Still, it's a hobby and it keeps her out of harm's way, like flower arranging, but people find her a bit more interesting at dinner.
Right then. I'm getting out of here and giving you a piece of my mind.
Euphemia, if you want to save your ship, you're going to have to trust me.
And the professor?
You're probably having a nap in the lounge. If you have a lounge, doesn't matter. No, you need to come with me.
Oh, fine. Doctor, you listen to me. What? Oh. Where have they gone?
I know what I must do. I must take the ship back to Gelmuth.
No. It is too late. I bless that world, but you've taken me away from it, so I can bless it no longer.
No, I'm sorry.
Already a blight spills across the marshes. Bushes become weeds. Poisons leach into the wells. The night criers fly above the desolation and they call with despair.
No!
You caused that, because you took me away, and there's no putting me back.
What? What can we do?
To make up for cursing your homeland. So sad. There is nothing you can do.
Please, there must be something.
No. Wait. Perhaps. Perhaps there is. You must find me a new home.
Euphemia.
There you are.
Did you hit me with a... Wait, let me feel the lumps. I can probably work it out by now. Did you hit me with a spanner?
A muon wrench.
Close enough. And let me see. Judging by the sealed hatch, the compact space, the view of the stars and the slight chill, I'm in an airlock. I would say you were planning on blasting me into space, but as you're not insane, that can't be the case.
You're a danger to everyone on this ship.
No, I'm not. I'm trying to save everyone. You have to let me out of here so I can save everyone. You know, forgive me, that was a bit much. I'm noticing something, or rather, I'm noticing an absence of something.
I think so.
I've worked out what's going on here.
So have I.
The annoying thing is that because of what's going on, there's no way we can communicate with each other. Honestly, best thing you can do is pop yourself in an airlock.
Summerfield will come along sooner or later, or Arn, and then we might stand a chance.
There isn't another airlock. And I've finished listening to you. This was supposed to be my big success. But I made one mistake. The legend of the Undying says you can look for him, but the Undying will find you. That was my mistake. I went looking for him. I found a body. But that wasn't the Undying.
It wasn't?
No, Doctor. It's you. You're the Undying.
That's good, Ah. Very good.
I've never flown a spaceship before.
And yet you are learning so fast. How quickly we travel. Leave your past behind.
I'm sorry for what I did to Gelmoth.
But look. Look out there. Look at all the other worlds. You've always wanted to travel, haven't you, Arn?
Yes.
Well,
worlds. We can go to them all and make them all as blessed as Gelmoth.
Euphemia, you really think I'm the Undying?
You walked out of the mist and you talked your way on board. And then you killed Vikram and ruined my life.
No.
And now you're trying to make me doubt myself, Doctor. The Undying, your powers are incredible. You've destroyed my career, my life in a matter of hours. Only we could have used those powers instead. Oh, you've got inside my head. There's no way we can be allowed to go home with the Undying on board.
I agree, but I'm not the Undying.
That's what you would say.
I know. I also know how long it takes to open an airlock. And you know that what you're about to do is wrong.
It's not easy, I'll admit.
What happened to Vikram has shaken you. It's understandable. But what you're planning on doing, you're not going to open the airlock. It's murder.
It's necessary. It's an execution.
An execution? Listen to yourself. You're in marketing.
What? You think I don't have what it takes?
You don't. And believe me, that's not an insult.
Then I suppose you don't understand me.
I know you won't do it, Euphemia. You're not a killer. When you pull that switch, it'll feel heavy in your hand. It'll resist you, and you'll have to go through with it, looking me in the eye as you do it, ending a life. You can't do it, can you? Not so easy, is it?
No, it's not. But that's what I've been doing. I've been setting the timer. Sorry. Goodbye, Doctor.
Euphemia!
Hello again, Undying. I was wondering if the Doctor was here. But instead, there's you. A 3,000-year-old body. Ugh. And that smell. Ugh, socks again. You're a priceless artifact. You're an enigma and a legend. I thought the Doctor would be all over you. But no. If I was any good at this, as an archaeologist... I am. And there's a mystery about you. One I can solve. Even if, when I get there, the Doctor says, I was wondering when you'd work that out. Oh, look at you. Ugh, 4, 5 possible causes of death. You've been Rasputin. Clear inference. They kept trying to kill you, and you didn't take the hint. Because you are immortal. Oh, that chest wound should have been fatal. So's the head wound. Brain pan crushed into splinters, nice. And yet you're still smiling. Now, if you are immortal, then that's fine. Problem is, sticking you in the ground wouldn't have settled the matter because you're immortal. You'd have climbed out. It was hardly a lead-lined coffin buried in cement. They threw you in a bog. That's practically like being buried in soup. So, what made you give up? Oh, that smile in your face is really getting to me. And still he smiled. And they got angrier and angrier and they kept on killing you. But what if you were dead the first time? Or what if... What if... Doctor!
Ah, Summerfield, there you are.
I said, what if the Undying was never alive?
Very good.
I worked it out despite you.
Excellent. Now, would you mind letting me out of this airlock? The safe way?
No, I'm not letting you out. Who put you in there?
Euphemia. She set the outer door on a timer.
I see. So solving this with her didn't work out so well for you, did it?
Are you jealous? I knew you should have stayed in the cabin.
Oh, here it comes. I'm a liability. I get in your way. I'm not a good archaeologist. And I'm window dressing.
Excuse me?
You said it.
No, I didn't. I promise you, you're wrong.
No, I'm not. I heard you.
Now, when did I say this?
I heard you talking to Euphemia through the air vent.
The air vent? Oh, you weren't even safe in the cabin. Idiot.
You made me sound like such a liability.
You're not hearing me, Summerfield.
You must think I'm so stupid.
Every word I say makes you think less of me because that's what it wants. It's in your brain.
I come to you with a breakthrough and you just belittle me and then say that I'm being paranoid.
Let me be clear. I must be absolutely clear. Summerfield, unless you let me out of here right now, I'm going to die.
So that'll be my fault too.
Oh.
Arne, what do you think you're doing with the controls?
I'm getting us home quickly.
Home?
Company headquarters on Chiftik.
Oh, my home, I see. Not Gilmouth. Yes, well, all right.
Let me see the job you've done of flying this thing.
You've not done anything wrong, not as such, but you are overclocking the drive a bit. We don't want to break down in deep space. There's no line in the budget for a rescue and it'd delay us and...
There. Yes. Much safer speed.
You don't want me to see Chiftik with you, do you?
No, it's not that. There's lots to see. The roof gardens, there's even a crystal zoo, plenty of tourist things.
Tourist things. I thought you were taking me there as your friend.
Of course I'm your friend. But getting back to the company matters the most. I've got to sort this mess out, salvage my career.
When you came to me on Gelmoth, you promised me so much if I'd help you find the Undying. But now I think about it, I find that you did not promise me anything at all.
Arne, don't be like that.
I'm not sure what I'm being like. I only know. I thought you valued me.
I do.
Now I realise that's all you were doing. Valuing me. Working out how much I was worth.
Where are you going? Come on, help me fly this thing back to Chiftik.
You don't need my help for that. If you left a primitive like me in charge of it, the ship can practically fly itself. No. I'm not sure you deserve the Undying.
Summerfield, if the airlock suddenly opens and flushes me out to a horrible death, well, I want to say that you were right.
Really?
There are some forms of life that we don't see as life. Take the Neridon. Beautiful, peaceful insects, humans made contact, lots of common ground, peace and understanding. After a long day, the human ambassadors went back to their quarters for a rest. When they woke, they found that they'd been entombed. The Neridon don't sleep, you see. 3-week life cycle. They'd never find the time. So when they saw the humans lying there, they assumed the worst. The universe has produced an infinite variety of life. Some of it bears a passing resemblance to the alternative.
But after 3,000 years...
Oh, 3,000 years is nothing. I know some mountains who take longer than that to say good morning.
So what is the Undying? Because I don't think it's that body.
Very good, but if you let me out of here, I'll tell you.
Am I right? That's very important to me.
I'm stuck in an airlock with a countdown.
Oh, there's always a countdown. Doctor, tell me I'm right.
You're right.
Aha!
And you're wrong.
Oh, you just had to, didn't you?
The door, Summerfield.
The airlock is empty. Don't you wish your laundry could be just as sparkling? Try Lava Mist.
Just in time. There's such a thing as too much fresh air. Thank you, Summerfield.
You said I was right and wrong.
Yes, and I have to be very quick. Because you're still infected, and the more I breathe this air, the quicker I'll be infected again.
I'm infected?
Yes. You were right. The Undying was never alive. You were wrong. That body we found has been its host for a long time. It's fungal, hence the smell in the air.
We've been breathing in the Undying.
Exactly. Spores connected by mycelial Wi-Fi, telepathic toadstools. That's how the Undying made its last host a master of persuasion, and also explains how its killers spent a long afternoon murdering a corpse. They got him the first time, but their senses were too infected to see it. They believed the hype, so kept on killing.
And that body's been waiting underground, brewing up a fresh batch ever since?
Yes. It's affected all of us. It went for my sense of guilt. I became overprotective. Always a weakness of mine.
Really?
Really. It has undermined poor Euphemia, made her paranoid, and with you, it made you doubt yourself.
You said some horrible things about me. I heard them.
Through the air vent. That's how it got into the cabin. Leaving you behind was stupid of me, and I apologize. My mind was only clear when I was in the airlock because the air flushed before I went in there.
So I really am still infected?
Yes. So please remember that anything I say that seems to be undermining you is simply a product of your overactive insecurities.
I thank you. Shall we go destroy an ancient artifact?
Yes, let's.
Arn, what are you doing?
I'm burning the undying. He's angry. And I'm hoping that a final burial will put him to rest. I do not think the undying is good for Euphemia. There!
Actually, not bad. Doctor?
Sterilizes the source, but the spores are still airborne. Well done, Arn.
The undying came to me. Told me I betrayed the riches of my planet. The thing is, my planet is not rich. We're miserable people forced to dig among the reeds for our food. If that's all the blessings of the Undying have given us, well, the company do not deserve the power of the Undying.
No, they don't.
It's not right that everyone should be tricked into being content with the little that they are allowed.
I quite agree. Let's put a stop to this.
We're all still infected, aren't we?
Very much so. The Undying is already finding another way of working on us.
Yeah, and the best way to keep a clear head is to open the window.
Which is why you brought us to the airlock. Purge the spores.
Won't we die?
I've turned it up a bit. Importantly, keep your mouth closed. Otherwise your lungs might shoot out and flap around like wet laundry in a storm.
Thanks for that.
Now, hold on to something.
Airlock operation will be available after this advertisement.
Not today, I think. Much better.
That was one of Vikram's. He was always good at those little jingles. They just worm their way into your head.
Ah, Euphemia. Good. Hold on to something.
Don't worry. We're going to blow the Undying into space.
No, you're not. This is my ship. My job. I won't let you destroy it all.
You're still infected. This will all be over soon.
Who told you that? The doctor? He's the Undying. He's going to kill us all. He's just doing this because he wants me to fail. You can't trust him.
Oh, very good. The idea.
The Undying's inside you, Euphemia, and it's playing a good game because it's only a matter of time before we stop trusting the doctor.
Excuse me?
Truth. Euphemia, the Undying is possessing you, and not because he wants to. It just wants something to wear. Sorry.
Here goes. Grab onto something. Ah. Help me with the levers.
Euphemia, please!
Don't do this. I am begging you. This is my last chance.
We're denying the Undying the oxygen of publicity.
I'm sorry. Ah, now. Everybody hold on.
Is it gone?
Dissipated. Whatever spores remain, there won't be enough for them to maintain a mycelial network.
Meaning?
We've killed the Undying.
You can't do it! They'll send me back! They'll send
me... It's all right. We're safe. How are you feeling?
Oh, bad. Very bad. Where are the others?
Professor Summerfield and the doctor have gone.
Gone? How can they have gone? Just leaving me to clear up the mess. Why do I get the feeling they have spent their lives doing that?
Actually, there isn't that much mess to clear up. Every trace of the Undying's been flushed away.
Every trace?
Yes. Sorry.
Great. I mean, you saw how powerful it was. It got out of hand, yes, but if the exec hadn't made us skimp in a biofilter, we could have contained it. The uses we could have put it to.
Every trace is gone. And that's a good thing.
My career's over. I am so fired, I can't go back to Chiftook.
And I've just destroyed one of our gods. I can't go back to Gelmoth. But we still have the ship.
We do.
We could keep going.
We could. Arn, would you like to see the stars?
Yes.
Will they be all right?
The spores are gone. The Undying, well, they'll have to call him something else now. You asked me if the Undying reminded me of anyone.
And that was before we met him.
But I have to ask myself, am I at all like him? Manipulating people, sacrificing them to get what I want, to keep going. Am I? Don't spare my blushes, Summerfield.
I think the Undying stopped asking itself that question a long time ago.
Diplomatic. Let's move on. Let's always move on.
What's happening?
Time Lord!
They found us! And they don't sound happy!
Into the TARDIS! Let's...
Listening to Doctor Who, The New Adventures of Bernice Summerfield, The Undying Truth by J.A. Prentice. Bernice Summerfield was played by Lisa Bowerman, the Doctor, David Warner, Euphemia, Lois Chimimba, Arn, Rosie Day, Vikram, Raj Ghatak, and Executive Adler, Laurie Lewin. The script editor and producer was James Goss, director, Scott Hancock, and executive producers, Nicholas Briggs and Jason Haig-Ellery.
Hello. We're here to talk about the making of The Undying Truth, and I'm joined by...
Raj Ghatak,
who plays...
Vikram.
Scott Hancock, the director.
Rosie Day, I play Arn.
Lisa Bowerman, playing Benny.
And Lois Chimemba, playing Euphemia.
This is... J.A. Prentice's first ever script. They are the winner of this year's basically Find a New Writer competition.
Yeah. And I, yeah. Well done, J.A.
Yep, I think he has done a very good job.
He has. It's great.
And you have all spent today bringing it to life. Actually, quite a complicated script, I thought. There's some interesting themes about, very cynical themes about the future of advertising and marketing.
But it's also, there are little moments that go in a completely different direction. The reason that a particular person wants a particular amount of power for a particular purpose, which comes as a bit of a surprise.
I think it's lovely that twist that, you know, you've got this legend of an undying creature that could influence whole armies and charm, you know, people and, you know, rather than use it to be a force for good or peace or something like that, people just want to sell pop.
I know.
You love the jingles.
Yeah, I was going to ask Roger about the jingles.
Yes.
Was it fun playing the jingles?
It was great fun playing the jingles, yes. They were well written, so they were written in couplets, so that was quite good. and also in the script, a lot of the time it says cheerily, or not. I'm not going to give too many emotional spoilers away.
But, you know, as a voice actor, you must be so used to those sort of corporate end lines and things.
Oh, where, yes. Yeah. Yes. And also just listening to the radio, you know, you get a flavour of what it is.
We're bombarded these days, aren't we?
This was going to be a general question to all of the actors. What is the worst corporate or advertising gig that you've had?
I tell you, the worst casting gig. I never get these things. I think I've only ever done one advert in my life. It was for a particular orange sort of fizzy drink. And I went in and it was directed by one of the guys who did, you know, the five go mad in, you know. It was, and it was a mock kidnap video. And they handed me this, and they had what is it? They'd taken out the element from this particular brand of pop, as you call it, and put it into a biscuit, and they were releasing it on society, and they kidnapped, and it kept adding to this thing, and I went in, and I went right, and they said, so you've got, here's your student, and here's your biscuit. Oh, and by the way, you have to wear a balaclava. Oh, and you have to wear rubber gloves.
Are you sure this was a casting leader?
And I went. Are you? So I couldn't speak. You couldn't eat. You couldn't pick up the biscuit. And the poor student was going, "What?" I didn't get the gig. And in fact, I think it ran for about 2 seconds. And the character I was up for was played by a man, so that went well.
Beat that, anyone?
I'm going to let you take the title.
Oh. Well, I've never did a jingle, but did once do an ad that had stunts in it. So the stunt, my personal stunt double, who looked nothing like me, for her hair to convincingly be mine, I found in the dressing room a sort of comedy permed Cher wig, and I was affronted that must be what my hair looks like on the telly.
Wow. I mean, if anyone there's something called Fiery Hawk, which is a comedic sketch, which is a pastiche of castings for commercials.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
So if you type in Fiery Hawk, you can sometimes get an idea of what it's like,
what it's really like.
Going for a commercial casting.
Oh, God.
And it's the content that is in Fiery Hawk doesn't happen, but it's just the idea. It's quite funny.
But as a voiceover artist, Raj, there's also, there's a video called Lion, and it's a bit like Toast, where poor actor is trying to do this, you know, tagline, and every person who is there, who's paid the piper, who is basically, you know, the employers of the advertising agency, give this poor guy a different note. And by the end of it, there's blood on the floor.
Speaking of which, Rosie and Lois, this is your sort of first Big Finish, I believe.
It is.
Yes.
Oh, well done.
So, sort of how. That was such a tenuous connection.
We were talking about voice work and, you know, people giving notes and stuff. And I was just curious how you found, you know, rather than a single line, you know, a whole part, having to embody, you know, the mad sci-fi.
We've had a lovely day, I think.
I've absolutely loved it. I am, not many people know this, I am the biggest Doctor Who fan, to the point that I almost bought my Jodie Whittaker Barbie with me today.
Stop!
Yeah, I've got them all. So I get to live out my Doctor Who dream.
You kept that one quiet.
Yeah, no, I am. Wow. Since I was about 10 years old, I have been obsessed with Doctor Who.
So you're very young. Who was your first Doctor?
Christopher Eccleston.
Oh my God, you are young.
So how have you kept so contained all the way through the day then?
I don't know. I just feel like going along with it, being like, this is really cool. Internally going, this is really cool.
But have you...
Oh, that's how you get back.
Have
on
you ever
Big
gone
Finch?
Back to the classic series?
I have. I have, but... Yeah, the Tom Baker. But I grew up with the, you know, Saturday Night... David Tennant was and is my Doctor.
You see, how times change.
David Tennant and Billy Piper. That series is my favourite one.
It's mad to think, you know, David did Big Finish before he did... Doctor Who on the TV.
Did it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Rosie, you could be another Doctor.
Is it Brimacom? Is it Brimacom Whatamadoo?
David's first Big Finish as the Doctor was in 2003, and David Tennant played a unit soldier, colonel.
A horrible unit soldier. And that's how he introduced David, who is today, to Big Finish.
But I think it's fair to say then, Rosie, you were on familiar territory with the nature of the script.
Very much so.
Were you familiar enough with the world that you knew what you were letting yourself in for? Or was
not
it...
to stick the knife in, but I have actually been in Doctor Who.
I know you have. I feel like more and more I'm becoming part of the Doctor Who family.
You do. It's a job that never goes away. I did it on telly in 1989, and it's never gone. Thank God. Thank God, it's never gone away.
Well, I did a play in Edinburgh post my episode going out, and there was a man waiting at stage door who had a Doctor Who book that must have had 300 signatures over all of it.
Oh, lightweight. and actually, can I just say, once these box sets come out, Rosie, you will be bombarded at stage door with a CD. It will happen.
It's a very loyal fan base.
That's great. Loyal
fan base. Well, on that note, I think we can
probably
finish.
We're not actually talking about the script at all. We're talking about voiceovers, James, and how much we love Doctor Who. There must be stuff we can talk about the actual...
We talked about jingles.
This is a good script.
Yeah,
we just need to make sure that we know that this is
It is a very good script, and I think he's done a really good script.
Yeah, and James, I mean, you were script editing it.
Yeah.
As you say, he won a competition. You found him. How did you develop this story? Where did the idea for it come from?
It was the original idea, and we had 300 entries, and we had a judging panel of an award-winning playwright, two TV script editors, including one from Doctor Who, the lovely Nick Landman, and they went through the entries, and this one surfaced, and hooray!
So
A bit of a lucky find, and it is quite nice. I've been messaging it JA today in a whole kind of like, you're in studio.
Aww.
It's very exciting. They're from America, so sadly cannot be with us today.
Very well written, and also sometimes with an American writer, they don't get the British rhythm. The speech rhythm and the speech pattern, but they did very well on this one.
Yeah, you can tell there's a real love for Doctor Who in this.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You know, only in the universe of Doctor Who would a marketing team go and blow up an ancient body. It's full of just some joyous touches like that.
And exactly.
I also quite liked the character of Arne, because the whole...
Oh, I love Arne.
Just the whole patronising cultural appropriation thing that Euphemia starts out with and starts to eventually realise by the end,
You can picture her so clearly.
Well, it's the pixie ears in the first line, isn't it?
The fact she wears she's got the T-shirt, all the stuff, all the marketing stuff.
Yeah, and it's one of the things that actually marks Euphemia out as just quietly horrible in my eyes.
She's not quiet. Yeah. There is nothing quiet about Euphemia.
Euphemia. Bully's feelings.
Bully's Vikram.
Yeah.
I love it.
Have we all met a Euphemia in our lives?
Yeah.
I think that's the success of the characters, that we all
recognize
them. All of them.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. What has it been like playing a Euphemia?
Oh, terribly fun. I would like to think in everyday life I'm polite and kind. Isn't that right, everyone?
Yes.
That's a great fun to have an edge.
I am so glad Scott cast somebody with a Glaswegian accent to do it, because it's that sweet firmness edged.
Yeah.
I think we're done. Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you,
James.
And I hope you enjoyed listening. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.